Thanks, Nick. We join in prayer. May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. What to make of Sarah's story in a world of Harvey Weinstein? What's the song? A man's world. Behind every great man, there's a woman. You know the kind of thing. Sarah's story reminds us it was ever thus. All over, women have been and still are very often subservient to, overlooked in favour of, abused by men. Read the Bible, and time again, you come across women who either glorify men, or who give birth to famous men, or who tempt men, or deceive men, or manipulate men. Or sing about men's great deeds. We shall hear Miriam's song very shortly, in a week or two. Sarah gets nearly all her fame from being Abraham's wife and Isaac's mother. Oh, and for having arranged for Hagar, her slave girl, to, as the story rather coyly puts it, become his other wife and give birth to Ishmael. But I said nearly all her fame. There's something else. Early on in her story, and right after the birth of Isaac, laughter. What Isaac's name means. Laughter. Just a little thing, almost a throwaway remark, but there for always. Whenever Sarah is remembered, and please God may Sarah long be remembered, along with the great patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all that power and prosperity, all the making things happen, all being part of God's plan, despite their frailties and weaknesses and failings, with them, as much as them, with the likes of Miriam, the anonymous woman who raised Moses, Pharaoh's daughter, lots of others, women who played their part in the stories that themselves became part of the story of the great famine, all those women, amongst them, Sarah. And whenever Sarah is remembered, never mind what she did, never mind her jealousy, her going along with the power politics of the day, her playing up to Abraham's power. Incidentally, how often have we heard about in recent days, as well as the women who were victims of Harvey Weinstein, the others who protected him, who turned a blind eye to his peccadilloes? Women and men, wasn't really about sex as much as it was about, as it is usually about, power. Whenever Sarah is remembered, this will be remembered. When she heard the promise, she laughed. When the three strangers, the messengers of God, told Abraham that he and Sarah would have a child, she laughed. Snorted with derision, I imagine. Hollow laughter at the passing of the time. And when, in her 90s, according to the story, the baby was born, this will be remembered. God has given me laughter. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't think that there is that much to laugh about, having a child at great age. All those sleepless nights ahead. I'm sure I'm not alone watching mums and dads and toddlers and thinking, I'm glad that stage is over. Grandparenthood, maybe. It's lovely, they say, when you can hand them back. But babies? Toddlers? The terrible twos? Tantrums? Been there, done that. Still, for Sarah, at great age, God has given me laughter. In the postpartum moment, after all the pain and struggle, I don't know how much pain and struggle, pride, relief, new hope, satisfaction, God has given me laughter. Time for a joke. Have you heard the one about Mrs. Dracula? It is Halloween afterwards, after all. I wasn't going to mention it this morning, but there we are. She couldn't sleep because of Dracula's coffin. Have you heard the other one, from which you will know what I do with my spare time? What if dogs only fetch balls because they think their owners like throwing them? Laughter, well, maybe all you can manage is a nervous, stifled giggle of embarrassment. Maybe you're sitting there thinking, don't give up the day job. Still, laughter. God has given me laughter. And much later, when Jesus stood in front of his followers to inspire them with the vision of his kingdom, not of this world, a kingdom ringing with the life of God in every part, he told them, "Blessed are you, poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh." You will laugh. You will laugh when you discover, as in the words of Paul, that this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. You will laugh when you see that the barrenness, the emptiness, the injustice, the violence, the poverty, the unfairness of this world is as nothing compared with the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You will laugh. We will laugh. And just for a moment, in that strange ancient world, a world of power and deceit and subterfuge, of warring tribes and factions, of a daily struggle to survive, Sarah laughed. At first she laughed sarcastically, scornfully, unbelievingly, then with joy, pain, satisfaction mixed, she laughed. The birth of the child of the promise. God has given me laughter. And in the world of Harvey Weinstein, and goodness knows how many as yet unexposed others, the powerful exploiting their position, using other people, indulging themselves, in that world, if it were not so tragic, it would be funny. A short, fat, balding, hairy man running around after dozens of women young enough to be his daughters. If it were not so awful, it would be playful. Hundreds of orphaned children sleeping rough around Calais, being woken every morning by the police with tear gas, and spending the whole day giving them a run around before settling down again the next night. If it were not so sad, it would be laughable. Teenagers with mental health problems waiting so long for treatment that when they eventually get it, they're too old to be eligible. If it were not so hypocritical, it would be hilarious. church authorities moving abusive priests to new parishes after complaints, where they started all over again, and years later those same authorities denying they knew anything about it in the first place. And so often it's not about sex, it's about nor security or the lack of resources, it is about power, about the misuse of power, about the excess of power concentrated in the hands of too few people, about the fear that surrounds power and those who are in awe against it, and the skewed vision of those who play to it and apologize for it and feed it. And the gospel and the stories that lead from ancient times, the times of Sarah, right the way through to the coming of the gospel in Christ, is set against such tragedy and misuse and sadness of power at every turn. And maybe all we need to take from the Sarah story is that one shining moment. We can only imagine how it was for Sarah in old age, after years of subterfuge and longing and playing up to the power of Abraham, then to hold in her arms the child of the promise. All the relief and the vulnerability and the ending and the beginning of those moments after childhood. And Sarah to know in that moment the limit to her power and the extraordinary power of God. To know and to say for then and for always and for all and for us who follow, to mourn at the state of the world and again to trust in the unsurpassing, endless glory of God. God has given me laughter. God has given us laughter also. And if our world was not so sad, so tragic, so destructive, thank God for the promise of his kingdom. It is a kingdom that is funny and joyful and overflowing with the ringing, rising, roaring, laughterful joy of God for now and for then and for always. Before our prayers of intercession, we're going to sing this little song, God of Abraham, Lead Us. And